hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up.
Let's kick off in Malawi, where sports officials are trying to build a women's football program from the ground up ahead of the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. A nationwide football talent search began over the weekend for girls aged 6 to 12. Lamech Messina filed this report from the southern city of Zomba in Malawi.
There was pomp and jubilation at the inaugural talent identification exercise over the weekend at Zomba Community Ground. About 300 young girls took part in the FIFA-funded program known as Girls Grassroots Festival. Over 40 young footballers were selected for training. James Sangala is the youth football officer at the Football Association of Malawi.
We'll be tracking their progress, and then one day, when one name appears, maybe on the national rant, you see these girls playing in the national team.
Malawi is trying to build a championship women's soccer team from the ground up. Sangala, a former player for the Malawi's men's national football team, said the country needs to invest in sports development from a young age if it hopes to compete on the international stage.
Because what we are doing, we are incorporating those girls who are already grown up. That's one thing also we are having problems with the senior national team, the men's team, because some of the guys didn't go through development.
The 11-year-old Deborah Simbeye is among the girls selected for the training. She says, "I decided to join the program because I can now see the future in female football. I believe through football, I will have a chance to travel to various places, including America."
Voice of America!
The program has also earned Malawi's government support. It recently facilitated a coaching course for teachers from government-owned primary schools to be trainers for the girls. The next talent search exercises will be held in the capital, Lilongwe, and in Nzuzu City in November. Lamech Messina for VOA News, Zomba, Malawi.
Now some European club football news, and reporter Loic Youth joins us now for a look at the tables in the English Premier League and Germany's Bundesliga. Sporty greetings, Loic!
Sporty greetings, Sonny, and a warm welcome to you all. Halloween was a welcome disguise after another thrilling weekend of the beautiful game. I'm your host, Loic Youth, and here's what the English and German tables look like. If you're a Sunderland fan, then it's a scary sight as they have equaled the worst start to a Premier League season once held by Manchester City in 96. The Black Cats are bottom on 2 points and have no wins 10 games into the season. Hull and Swansea are both under new management and they filled the rest of the relegation zone. The Swans' only win this season came on the first day, while Hull have conceded the most goals in 18th place. Last season's champions Leicester have already lost as many games as they did last year, leaving them on a dozen points in 11th place. They did, however, pick up their first away points of the season at Spurs, and they are closely followed by Crystal Palace and Burnley, both a point behind. Middlesbrough, West Brom, and a somewhat rejuvenated West Ham all have 10 points as they fill the 14th to 16th spot, and right above the relegation zone we have Stoke City on 9 points in 17th. That means only 10 points separate 11th from 20th. The top half of the table is pretty tight, and there's only 1 point separating the top four. Manchester City, Arsenal, and Liverpool are all tied for top spot, with only goal difference separating the three. City and Liverpool both have the most goals scored, with Arsenal one behind. However, the Gunners are tucked in second place between Pep City and Klopp's Liverpool, all on 23 points. Chelsea completes the top four with 22 points and has been a steady rise for the Blues since Conte switched to his preferred 3-4-3 system. Tottenham Hotspur is the only undefeated team and the meanest defense in fifth position, 2 points behind Chelsea. Their 5 draws out of 10 has been their Achilles heel so far, and if they could change those draws into wins, they could potentially be top. Everton is in 6th, followed by Watford and Manchester United, who are level on 15 points. Mourinho's men haven't found a consistent stride since winning their first 3 games of the season, while the Hornets are slowly building on last season's 13th place finish. Southampton on 13 and Bournemouth on 12 make up the rest of the top half. And so far, it's too close to call as November looms, with next week's big game seeing Spurs travel to Arsenal. We march on to the Bundesliga, where we have 3 undefeated teams and 2 still looking for their first 3 points. It's no surprise as the Bavarians lead the way. Bayern Munich is still to taste defeat under Carlo Ancelotti, and though they haven't looked vintage at times, they still have the most goals scored and the least conceded, as they have 23 points. Now, if you would have guessed that Red Bull Leipzig would be in second and undefeated so far, I would have questioned your sanity. However, it is the truth, and the newly promoted boys are up in second and only 2 points behind Bayern. To spice things up, they have conceded only 1 more than the defending champions. Incredible. Hoffenheim in 3rd and Mainz in 9th are separated by 5 points only. Cologne is in 4th place and have the league's top marksman in the form of Anthony Modest after he hit his 11th Bundesliga goal this weekend. Hertha Berlin sits in 5th, while Dortmund, Eintracht Frankfurt and promoted Freiburg all have 15 points. Dortmund has been patchy in league football, yet sublime in the Champions League. Hamburg and Ingolstadt have the unfortunate record of still seeking their first win of the season. Both are on 2 points so far and 4 away from 2009 champions Wolfsburg in 16th. Werder Bremen is another powerhouse struggling this season, as they are in 15th on 7 points. Darmstadt, Augsburg and Schalke are all on 8 points as they occupy 13th to 15th spot. Bayer Leverkusen are in 10th position and Gladbach on a dozen in 11th. So it's 10 games deep in England and 9 in Germany, and we're slowly getting an idea of who'll be battling for top spot, who'll be embroiled in a relegation dogfight, and which small team will punch above their weight. Thank you for tuning in, listeners, and it's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Loic. Major League Baseball's World Series will resume Tuesday night in Cleveland, Ohio. That's where the Cleveland Indians will host the Chicago Cubs in Game 6 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. The Indians lead 3-2 and will be looking to wrap up their first World Series title since 1948. On Sunday night in Chicago, the Cubs avoided elimination with a 3-2 victory. Chicago's Cuban hurler, Aroldis Chapman, regarded as the fastest pitcher in the major leagues, got the final 8 outs and struck out 4 to get the save. In fact, if you're keeping score, VOA baseball fans, Chapman holds the record for the fastest pitch in Major League Baseball history, more than 105 miles per hour. In the 4th inning Sunday night, the Cubs got a solo home run from third baseman Chris Bryant.
I saw something, I don't know, someone told me today that 17 times this year we lost a game and we went on to win 3 in a row, so why can't we do that now?
If Chris Bryant and the Cubs can win 3 games in a row in this World Series, they'll capture their first championship since way back in 1908. For now, though, the focus is on Game 6 Tuesday night, and maybe a decisive Game 7 in Cleveland Wednesday night. Let's listen in now to Cubs manager Joe Maddon.
Yeah, I've never been looking forward to wanting to play the 7th game of a World Series in my life, you know. So, we get to go over there with 2 rested starting pitchers. From an entertainment perspective, if you're a baseball fan or looking to become a baseball fan, it was wonderful tonight, outstanding. But I like to believe we're going to gain some momentum from this game going back over there. Momentum is always based on your starting pitcher, too. And, well, again, with these guys, you saw how good their bullpen was once again. It's really important to grab that lead and hold on to. We did.
Now let's go to Shanghai, China, where Japanese golfer Hideki Matsuyama romped to a 7-stroke victory at the HSBC Champions Tournament. He closed with a 6-under par 66 to become the first Asian winner in the 18 years of the World Golf Championships. It was only fitting that the 24-year-old Matsuyama won at an event described as Asia's Major. Reporter Nick Dye caught up with Matsuyama after his big victory. First, we'll hear from him in Japanese, and then the English translator.
It's a great victory for me, and hopefully this will be a good victory and a great victory for Japan and encourage others to play golf.
When did you think you had it won?
Probably at 16 when I hit my second shot on the green, I figured I could get it in from there.
Was that very nice to finish with a par here to know that there was no blemish at the end?
To play bogey free today was great for me.
We know your form has been good, but have you ever played this well, so consistently, at this level?
Not really, and especially my putting this week. I mean, I've never probably putted better than I have this week.
What does it do for you? I mean, that you'll probably have to take stock, but in terms of the PGA Tour, it's a very good start to the season. World rankings are wonderful.
I'm really speechless, but I'm really happy and thrilled that the world ranking is going to go up. I know there's a lot of guys, great players ahead of me. It just gives me more incentive to work harder.
This is good for golf in Japan as well, isn't it?
Hopefully it is big in Japan and it'll make a difference there.
What are your plans now? How will you celebrate?
It'll probably be in the airplane flying back to Tokyo tonight.
That's Japanese golfer Hideki Matsuyama. And he was speaking with reporter Nick Dye in Shanghai, China. It was Matsuyama's 10th career title, and he now moves up to a career-best number 6 in the world golf rankings. From Shanghai, let's go to Singapore, where Slovakian player Dominika Sibulková is the surprise winner of the Women's Tennis Association finals. The 27-year-old Sibulková upset top seed and world number one Angelique Kerber in straight sets 6-3 and 6-4. Dominika says she's still trying to process her big victory.
I think I put out all my emotions of joy after the match point. It was unbelievable. And then I was waiting during the ceremony, and until now I'm like, is this really happening?
Dominika Sibulková says her title in Singapore has really boosted her confidence as she gets ready for the 2017 season.
I see the next season for me like another challenge for me, and I really want to do more, and now I believe in myself that I can really be even better than this.
Meanwhile, Angelique Kerber says the loss in Singapore is disappointing, but she's still proud of what she accomplished in 2016.
For sure, I give everything. I mean, it was a tough year with a lot of matches, so I give everything on court today. And the rest energy I had left, so of course, when I'm looking back, it's one of my best years. And I think when I will go home now, I will just think about the best moments.
The best moments for Angelique Kerber in 2016 include her first two major titles at the Australian Open and the U.S. Open, and overtaking American star Serena Williams for the number one ranking in women's tennis. Elsewhere, the final week of the regular men's tennis year could see a change at the top of the world rankings. Serbian star Novak Djokovic has held the top spot all year, but if he fails to reach the final of this week's BNP Paribas Masters in Paris and Andy Murray wins the tournament, Murray will go to the top for the first time in his career. Speaking in the French capital Monday, Murray said when he planned his year, he never expected to be number one this quickly. He adds, the rankings don't lie, and Djokovic deserves to be at the top.
Yeah, Novak deserves to be ranked one, you know, because of the year that he's had. He lost in the semis of Shanghai, final in New York. He won Cincinnati, lost to Del Potro, who's obviously playing great tennis at the Olympics. He's had an amazing year, so he's doing all right.
Andy Murray arrived in Paris having won his last three tournaments, including one Sunday in Vienna, Austria. In that final, the Scottish star defeated Frenchman Joe Wilfried Tsonga in straight sets 6-3 and 7-6. It was Murray's personal best seventh title of the season and 42nd of his career. Murray, though, says he has to keep the balance right between playing matches and getting better on practice courts.
You know, you need to spend time on the practice court to improve things. If you just play matches all the time, that's good if you're winning, but you need to keep improving as well. And playing matches isn't always the best way to do that.
Scottish tennis star Andy Murray, who is one of the favorites this week at the BNP Paribas Masters tournament in Paris.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Well, we'll start where you just left off with tennis. And there's a general sense, who would have thought that potentially at the end of 2016, the two number ones wouldn't be named Serena Williams and Novak Djokovic, but instead be named Angelique Kerber and Andy Murray. One person tweeting out saying 2016 is inarguably the year of Murray and Kerber. And somebody else tweeting out saying, good things come to those who wait and work their rear ends off. They didn't use the word rear end, but good things come to those who wait and work really hard. So a lot of praise for Murray and Kerber for working really hard and getting to the positions where they are now.
Well, while Kerber will officially end the year at number one, Andy Murray has not yet overtaken Djokovic.
The ball is in his court, as we might say. So we'll see.
He could still get there. We'll see.
He could. I think a lot of people are pulling for him. There's a lot of fans out there on the internet. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think Murray has sort of had this reputation of being under the coattails of Djokovic and Roger Federer. And
so people are waiting for him to break through. They say he has good stuff on the court. He plays really well. So they're waiting for him to hopefully capture that number one ranking.
We'll watch, Andrew. What else is trending in the sports world?
Well, speaking of good things coming to those who wait, it has been 71 years, as we said, since a World Series at Wrigley Field in Chicago. And it took the Cubs a couple of extra days to get their first World Series win in Wrigley Field in 71 years, of course, dropping the first couple games there in Wrigley. But then they won, sure enough, with some interesting plays last night. At first, you had Chris Bryant, as you mentioned, hitting that home run that kind of sparked things. And a lot of people talking about what they're calling a circus catch between Anthony Rizzo and catcher David Ross. They kind of bumble this ball back and forth, and Rizzo ends up catching it and getting it out. Somebody tweeted out, so they probably practice that all the time. It's, but it is an impressive catch, and a lot of people speculating between that home run and that really amazing play, that catch, that this could be the spark that leads the Cubs to victory. Now, of course, if the Cleveland Indians win tomorrow night in Cleveland, ball game over. Cleveland Indians win the World Series, so the Cubs are in it to win it. It's a do-or-die moment for them tomorrow night. And even if they win tomorrow night, then they got to go to Game 7.
So we'll have to, again, wait and see. Game 6 on Tuesday night in Cleveland, and possibly a decisive Game 7 on Wednesday night.
Wrigleyville is certainly hoping for a Game 7. I think a lot of Cubs fans would be okay if they didn't get the World Series title at Wrigley, as long as they just get it wherever it is. They just want it that bad.
Any Bill Murray updates, Andrew?
Yeah, there was a lot of video of him singing his rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. It was definitely a crowd pleaser at Wrigley. I imagine, I haven't seen that he was at the other games, but it wouldn't surprise me if he is. And if it goes to a Game 7, I would bet anything that he will be there in Cleveland. He's not going to miss a chance to see his Cubbies potentially win the World Series for the first time in 108 years.
Incredible. Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans. He's been one of the bright young stars early, very early in this NBA season. He had one game last week where he tallied 50 points, 16 rebounds, 7 steals and 5 assists, as well as 4 block shots. It wasn't enough, though, because his team lost the game 107-102 to the Denver Nuggets. But Anthony Davis, clearly a player to watch this upcoming NBA season. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, speaking of milestones, the Cubs winning that first game in 71 years, we had another sports milestone yesterday here in the United States. It was the Sports Equinox.
Sports Equinox. What is that?
Now, I had never heard of this before, and I did some digging. This is the one day when all 4 U.S. major sports leagues have teams playing on the same day. So you have National Football League games, Major League Baseball game, National Hockey League game, and National Basketball Association game, all happening on the same day. Now, this is pretty rare because you have to have the NBA schedule line up with the baseball schedule with the postseason, so it can only happen in October or November, but it's only happened 6 times in the past 30 years. And if you throw Major League Soccer in there, even though Major League Soccer isn't considered one of the big 4 major sports leagues in the U.S., if you throw Major League Soccer in there, it's only happened 3 times in the past 30 years, including yesterday. Major League Soccer, of course, in their playoffs. Now, I've got a trivia question for you. I'm going to put you on the spot. There has only been one city that has had all 4 teams that it has play in all 4 leagues on the same day. It happened in 2001. That's one hint. So you got to think back to 2001, who was in the World Series in baseball. And the other hint is that not all of the teams play in the city. They might play in a suburb of the city.
I'll go with New York, New York City.
So you were halfway there because New York was in the World Series that year. But the big hint I'll give you is that suburb they play in might be called Glendale.
Glendale, Arizona?
It was Arizona, the Phoenix, of the Phoenix teams, the Suns, the Coyotes, the Diamondbacks, and the Cardinals were all playing back in 2001. So that is the only city that has had 4 teams in the Sports Equinox. So that's a good trivia question. Everybody out there can listen and enjoy that.
Not exactly a major U.S. city when it comes to sports.
Yeah, you would think, you know, Los Angeles, New York, but nope, it was Phoenix.
Or Boston, maybe.
Or Boston, something like that, but it was Phoenix.
Andrew, anything else with in our closing seconds of the show?
Yeah, and very quickly, since it is Halloween and everybody's dressing up here in the U.S., Cam Newton, the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, is making some news for his attire at the post-game press conference yesterday. Wore a pink suit, a green fedora, some speckled shoes, getting comparisons to a Dick Tracy villain or the Joker from Batman. He's made some interesting sartorial choices before. But no word if it was because of Halloween.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And that wraps up the October 31st Halloween edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wojtek Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, announced on October 12th a new program in Tanzania that will increase access and quality of education for adolescent girls. Concurrently, the USAID mission in Tanzania announced that it will sign a memorandum of cooperation on the Let Girls Learn initiative with Global Affairs Canada, or GAC. This agreement builds on USAID and GAC's existing collaboration through the Education Development Partner Group, which coordinates with the government of Tanzania's Ministry of Education, Science, and Technology to develop the Education Sector Development Plan and education policies. The new agreement commits both donor agencies to work together to identify and outline potential areas for joint cooperation to advance access to quality education, foster an enabling environment for adolescent girls' education, and engage and equip girls to be agents of change. Since the launch of the Let Girls Learn initiative, USAID has invested over $600 million on Let Girls Learn programs in 13 countries across Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In Tanzania and Malawi, the first two Let Girls Learn priority countries, the U.S. government will invest up to $25 million through the Let Girls Learn Challenge Fund to work with an array of partners on innovative approaches to improving girls' education. In Tanzania, World Education is the apparent awardee for the Wache Wasomi, or Let Them Learn program, which will capitalize on long-standing USAID efforts to empower young women. In partnership with Restless Development, WGBH Educational Foundation, and the Campaign for Female Education, or Wache Wasomi, will increase enrollment and retention of adolescent girls aged 13 to 19 and improve community perceptions about the value of educating girls in select districts of the Arusha and Mara regions. This new activity grew out of a USAID workshop held in Dar es Salaam in May, where development experts, donors, and Tanzanian and Malawian government officials co-designed innovative solutions to help adolescent girls attain a high-quality education. USAID Tanzania is proud to be part of Let Girls Learn, which complements our strategy to advance Tanzania's socioeconomic status in large part by empowering women and youth, said USAID Mission Director Sharon Cromer. We are committed to improving the lifelong learning skills of Tanzanians, particularly among vulnerable groups like adolescent girls who face many barriers to education.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Let's Talk, they say most people in the world have no idea how to manage their money. Do you? Join host Sunday Shumari and his guests discussing money management. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Looking for the day's biggest news stories? Then start your day with Voice of America's Daybreak Africa. Daybreak's 30-minute program comes to you Monday through Friday at 300, 400, 500, and 600 UTC. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
On November 8th, American citizens will exercise their right to vote and choose their next president. VOA is providing comprehensive coverage of this unique democratic process. Who is going to earn the trust of the American people to lead the nation for the next 4 years? Find out right here on VOA.